I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the 9th episode of Bar Chords, a podcast by Guitar Nerds. I am your host, Joe Branton, and this week, we're going to be talking a little bit about Music Man guitars and Moore multi effects. Yes, that's what ages ago now. The lovely people at Music Man sent us a load of stuff, and I've been using it for various things. But I hadn't really spoken about it that much, so I want to talk about those things. But also we've got the Moore GE300, and you know, I realised that this is the Moore GE300 is kind of just you're just starting to see demos, and all the demos I think kind of came out in like June and stuff. It was obviously announced at Winter NAMM, but then it's taken this long for them to get out. Pretty impressive piece of kit, a real upgrade and a real sort of a real like bargain for people in the sort of multi-effects recording, no amplifier for live gigs sort of thing. But anyway, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. First of all, let's talk about Music Man guitars, right? Because obviously they're very, very good. Music Man sent us a couple of instruments. And one of them was the Stingray guitar, their Stingray guitar, which is very, very cool. So the Stingray came out along with the Cutlass a handful of years ago. Now, the Cutlass was kind of Music Man's Strat-style guitar with, you know, three single coils. And the Stingray, did I say the Cutlass? Yeah, the Cutlass was that. And the Stingray was their double humbucking sort of bolt-on guitar. Kind of feels like the Stingray is a bit more, this is your like modern application. I think of this as an absolute all-rounder. In many ways, it's a bit like, obviously the, you know, the two humbucker thing they'd been doing in the Albert Lees for some time. But I think the Albert Lee is a real, like, people either love that shape or they're really not into it. This was a much more kind of general purpose body shape. But, you know, as you know, well, if you don't know, about a year ago, Music Man started roasting all the maple on their necks, and the flame, the quality of the flame on the necks of the Music Man guitars at the moment is absolutely outrageous. Like me and Matt and Mark went to the Music Man factory a couple of years ago. And just the quality of stuff that they were churning out was you know, absolutely remarkable. Big fan of Music Man, and they kind of, I always thought their pricing sits at a bit of a funny place, because you know your average Music Man's sort of between £2,000 and £2,500, but which is kind of custom shop territory. But they're not, you know, custom shops. They're sort of off-the-shelf things. But the quality is so incredibly high. It's a bit of a weird one, because you think, you know, you kind of define, I guess, pricing in the industry by Fender. Like, what Fender charging for a Mexican guitar? Well, that's how much, you know, a guitar not made in the States that's good quality should be. You know, if that's £500, £600. We know that that's like, that's the benchmark for a guitar that's not rubbish, you know. And I'm a big fan of cheap guitars as well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, that's your benchmark for a guitar that's probably going to stay in tune and you know, be decent. A guitar that's not a Squire, not an Epiphone, you know, not some Weird Old Burns. It's a benchmark of standard. And then Fender have their American line, and their American line sitting at £1,200-1,300. It's creeping up. I know it's creeping up, but anyway, they're sitting around like that £1,200 mark, and you go, yes, between £1,000 and £1,500, that is how much money you spend for, that's the most amount of money you spend if you're not going to a custom shop. Because of course, if you want to go to a custom shop with Fender, you can go to their custom shop for £2,500. So when that's only kind of 500 quid more than an off-the-shelf guitar from Music Man, it's like, oh, this is awkward, because your guitars are more expensive than the most expensive American-made guitar from the biggest company that makes guitars, but they're not a customer. So it's a bit of an awkward thing, but you have to view Music Man as something completely separate, because they make guitars in such a small quantity anyway, surprisingly, for such a big company. Honestly, like, you could walk through their entire factory in, 5 minutes flat. Like, it's there's lots going on there, but it's not as big as you might think. And I just think the quality they managed to put out is quite impressive. I kind of like that they, when we were there, they were showing us all these Flame Maple necks, and we were like, you guys obviously had to order in, all this really expensive, what is it, quadruple A Flame Maple necks. And they were like, no, we just got, this is just how it's coming out. We're really lucky with that. And they I thought that was kind of great. Anyway, kind of back to the Stingray. The Stingray is an absolute workhorse. I'm surprised I haven't seen it around in people's hands a little bit more. I think I see more. I wonder what's the most popular the most popular Music Man guitar that you see in people's hands. Is it still the Albert Lee? I don't know. The St. Vincent, I feel, had a spike in popularity that sort of died down with the fact that it is a very particular instrument. We've got, they've obviously sent us one, which I'm going to talk about as well. And we've got our own, Guitar Nerds have our own Sterling by Music Man, St. Vincent. And they're certainly great, but it's very, it's such a particular product. Anyway, moving back to the Stingray. The Stingray, I kind of feel, is like your perfect general purpose, because you've got a trem and the trem system on the vibrato system on Music Man guitars has this lovely rounded off lower section to it, which makes it very, very comfortable for palm muting. And I felt like a lot of this guitar really felt like it was kind of built around me. It was a very comfortable play. And I'm not really into that sort of thing. I love weird old vintage guitars that make you fight them. But this is just very, very comfortable. That gorgeous 4x2 headstock in the sort of flamed finish. Oh, it looks very good. And even the logo, the Stingray logo, they're now doing in like a black font with a gold outline, that sort of spaghetti style logo. Just everything about this oozes premium. The scratch plate's quite an interesting thing on a Stingray guitar, because it's the scratch plate's a conventional shape, I guess, and in many ways the top half of it mimics the same way that the scratch plate works on a Stingray bass, but the rest of it doesn't, because the scratch plate mirrors the lower horn, much as it would on a Stratocaster or a Telecaster, whereas on the Music Man Stingray bass is kind of oblong. But then the control plate, which is what I meant when I was saying scratch plate, pick guard for the Americans. The control plate is really weird, because it gets thicker towards the lower half of it, which is quite unusual. I mean, I see the idea of the shape. They wanted to keep the line straight alongside the bridge, but then have it extend round to mimic what the scratch plate is doing, pick guard is doing on the other lower horn. But it's just a weird thing, because it's quite large. And then, of course, they've only got a volume and a tone control on there, because your three-way selector is dealt with on the upper horn, which is fine. I always knock pickup selectors that are in that location, to be honest. On my ES7175, because that's where you get them on on those. And before then, I was playing a lot of Strats and Tellies where I didn't have that problem. On the Strats, I never had that problem because I'm always on the bridge pickup. And on the Telly, it's hard to knock because it's not at an angle where you're going to accidentally do that. So when I started playing my Gibson ES-175, I was like, well, I'm never going to use the neck pickup on this anyway because it's a massive hollow body and it's, a super, woolly sounding instrument anyway. And I play like half flats, so I'm never going to need a neck pickup. I ended up putting a bit in, and this is horrible when you consider this a £4,000 guitar. I use a bit of gaffer tape to keep the selector down. Anyway, so the Music Man Stingray is available in a ton of colours. Like now that they've kind of redone it, now it's this roasted thing. Great colours, like they do like a vintage turquoise, Fimus silver, charcoal frost, which are all kind of variations on surf colours. And then the new colour they've got is aged buttercream, which is what they've sent us. Now the aged buttercream comes with a black scratch plate, and it has that lovely vintage look and feel to it. That sort of punk rock, this is what it is, no frills kind of look to it. I really like. They also do a coral red, which is obviously a bit like a Fiesta red, which is lovely. And of course, charcoal sparkle and stealth black, which are their two. The stealth black is obviously their metal color, and the charcoal sparkle is their glam color. It's a mouthful of a color to say, but it's very impressive, sort of big, dark, sort of gray and silver, big flake, like chunky flake, sparkly guitar. Very, very cool. Very interesting. I really like these guitars. I really think they're worth checking out if you're looking for something that's it's just the ultimate all-rounder. Like, it's HH is obviously going to be that. I'm still not convinced by coil taps or coil splits or actually needing those sounds. I really do think everything you can do with those three tones, it's certainly, if you're using plenty of drives and modulations, delays, reverbs, other things like that, it really, I'm not convinced, but that you need that many. But then, I like guitars with one pickup. So I different strokes for different folks. Nonetheless, a super cool guitar. Incredible that the Sterling series is now doing them as well, so affordably. But if you've never checked them out, get down to your local guitar shop and check one out. Okay, so the other guitar that we got sent through is the new Music Man St. Vincent. Yes, I know, it's love-hate. Yes, some of you really didn't like it and some of you absolutely loved it. And that seemed to be the thing. This is a Marmite guitar. You either think this is ridiculously awesome or you're an idiot. You're one of those two things. And of course, some people are idiots, so there's nothing we can do about that. Anyway, the model that they sent us through was the charcoal sparkle version of this. Now, the difference is that they've changed it to HH. The originals came with three mini humbuckers, which I really like on the Sterling one we got, and on all of the triple mini humbucker ones that we'd played in the past. I thought they were a ton of fun. Really, really good. Sounded like a supercharged Stratocaster. Which was fantastic. It was exactly what I wanted. Again, I was just on the bridge pickup all the time. But, having a five-way selector for something that was a bit more loud and aggressive was cool. I realised that's the reverse of what I just said. But it was quite fun playing those, the outer phase settings on the St. Vincent. Now, this one is a bit more conventional. It's two humbuckers, which is a great idea because, of course, there were loads of people out there who were like, I'm really into the St. Vincent, but how many people are looking for a supercharged Strat in that sort of shape? Like, how many Strat players are the sort of people that would buy a St. Vincent? I think it was a bit at odds. I think of Strat players as being relatively conservative in their taste. Bear in mind, I also did own three Stratocasters until very recently. But, and then you have this sort of weird 50s futuristic-y Music Man thing that kind of sounded a bit Stratty. It was a bit at odds. So I think the two humbuckers is a great idea. Although I'm pretty sure you still get like a five-way selector on this. I'll see if I can actually find that information before Before the end, yes, it is a five-way pickup selector with custom configurations. You know, tell me what the custom figure. I mean, I've got the guitar sitting over there in a hard case. Safely in a hard case. I decided not to do sound samples of these because I realized that they're just going to sound like guitars. Like, they sound fantastic, but, you know, the sound samples are really best when I'm doing either effects or amps or something like that. So they are very, very good, and there is obviously plenty of content out there on the internet on these guitars. I really do think these are worth checking out. I mean, again, it's a big old chunk of money. It's a big old investment, whatever these are, $2,000-$2,500, something like that. But my goodness, they look incredible. And they do a wicked range of colours as well. So they've got the charcoal sparkle. You also have Blue Dawn, which is kind of a sort of blue burst, which is also sparkly, but it's like small sparkles rather than big sparkles, which is incredible that they bothered to make such a different finish. And then there's the Sea Breeze, which is a lovely, like a gorgeous sort of Daphne blue, or maybe a Sonic blue with a white guard. And then they also do a Stealth Black, if you want to be all metally with it, which is quite cool. What I really like about these, I mean, other than things like the little pearl tuners, is ebony boards now with the roasted maple neck. Oh, just, I tell you what, that might be, that's my favourite combo. I know we're going through this big sort of hipstery roasted maple point in time, but I am really into ebony boards with the roasted maple neck. And the inlays on the St. Vincent, they're so good because they're the St. Vincent symbol, sort of part of her symbol anyway. It's like the circle-y things. That's part of it. I think it's S's or whatever that are overlaid, but they look like circles. So it's something along those lines. Anyway, they look very cool. It's a very cool guitar. I think it's a very, as I've said, a very particular thing. But my goodness, absolutely. If you have not checked out the new HH St. Vincent, I think they're very worth checking out. They are super cool. All right. Now, I also said we were going to talk about the Moor GE300, which is Moor's new-ish, you know, throwing their towel into the ring of the Helix GT1000 Axe FX Kemper floor thing style all-in-one solution. Now, of course, earlier in the year we did actually get the Hot Tone Ampero, which was their version of it, and of course Moor had previously released the G200. I think it was the 200, wasn't it? Yes, the G200, same as the Ampero. It was kind of what I expected them to release. It you know, it had a it had three foot switches and a volume control, a volume pedal on there, and you know, had some digital effects in there, and it was fine. Same as the Ampera, it was fine, totally fine. Would I use it for any sort of professional stuff? No, but you know what? If I was just at home kicking around, then I'd use it. I think it's a load of fun. I think the sounds were, in both cases, a touch too digital to get away with live, but that's what you're doing, isn't it? You're investing in something for a few hundred pounds that can do literally everything. Now, that is not at all the case with the GE300. So the GE300, Moor have actually upgraded all of the effects in the insides of this. So if you'd heard the GE200 and were, you know, only mildly impressed, then, you know, the GE300, if anything, if they'd have given it a totally different name, that might be better, because this is a totally different thing. What I really like about this is they haven't just tried to copy the Helix or the Kemper. It very much has its own setup on the on the front panel, its own way of controlling it, which I found very straightforward, very easy, very, very quick to learn. And that's kind of one of my things with this. It was one of my initial
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So systems with the GT1000, although, you know, I think the GT1000 is a fantastic piece of equipment. I wanted to do an unboxing video of that back when I worked at GAC, and I wanted to do the Boss GT1000 when it had just come out, and I couldn't work out how to, and this is probably more a comment on me than anything else, I couldn't work out how to edit a patch without getting the manual, and you know what Boss manuals are like. Whereas certainly on this G300, and the same with the Helix and the Headrush, you know, with a little bit of common sense, you can work out how to navigate the controls. So what have we got? So we've got an 8-foot switch. Well, there are 10-foot switches, but two of them will be ascribed to Banks. 8-foot switches, and you've got your volume pedal on there, and it's got all the same ins and outs as a Helix LT, a Line 6 Helix LT. So you've got your XLR outs to go straight to the front of house with the amp models, which is super useful, really convenient. 650 British pounds. I don't know exactly what that is in dollars. I assume it's getting worse every day. Which is about £100 less than a Helix LT. You know what would have been great? If this was £100 less than that. Because if I was going to spend £650, you are £100 away from a company that Line 6 certainly have an awful lot of heritage and very, very respected in this field. More are still very much the new kids on the block with this sort of thing. So, you know, I would have liked it to be a little bit less. Nonetheless, even with that, I don't mean to say that that's a bad thing, because at £650, this is the most affordable multi-effects all-in-one unit on the market. It's the most affordable, and guys, it's fantastic. It sounds really good. It's different. It's different. They're not just trying to, it's not just trying to copy everything else. And there's tons in there, sure, but it has some really neat things. Anyway, let's talk about sort of the basic things. So you get 108 amp models in there, and 43 cab speaker models, but you can upload your own IRs, so you can add more cabs if you want. I kind of think of the cab thing as just like a nice bit of EQ shaping with these multi-effects. I'm not really too fussed. Like, I don't know how much effect they're really going to have. Prove me wrong. You know, message on the Facebook, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerds forum, and tell me, am I wrong about cab sims? Are they more important than I think? I don't think they are. But anyway, so there you go. Got all of those. 108 amps, 43 cabs, 164 effects, and an effects loop, which is very good. So if you have a particular effect that you're a big fan of, you can introduce that just like you can on the Line 6 Helix. It was, of course, that feature was Boss's main selling point with the MS3, was the fact that it was a multi-effects with an effects loop. But now everything has it. This is a good idea, that's why. Tone Capture is the name of their sort of IR sampling thing, but yeah. You can sample the tonal characteristics of guitar, amplifier, stomp box, and cabinets to create new digital preamp models. Very, very cool indeed. However, the thing that I thought was the coolest is they've included a synthesizer on the GE300, a synth engine, sorry, I should call it, a complex synth engine. They're really sort of selling it on this. The synth engine's not like, not I guess like the Line 6, where you've got like maybe, I don't know, maybe 5-10 different types of synthesizer-y things, synthy effects that you can mess around with. This is one synth engine which consists of And, it, you know, your input is split out into three separate oscillators, which run into three separate pitches and then three separate filters, which then can all have their level controlled independently and then run back together whilst you are also able to run your own dry out to run along with there. So, yeah, so all, you know, you can control all the waveform, pitch, attack, levels, filters, and an arpeggiator individually on all three of these voices, which is massive. That's a massive deal. That's huge. And, you know, that's there's so much stuff. You can create so many different tones from there, but without presets. I kind of liked that. I really liked that about this. They were just like, here's this fun thing. Not sort of, here are 1,000 presets all disguised as you getting a new thing. They're just like, oh, here's this synth engine. Do what you want with it. So, essentially, that's what I did. I was getting very involved in the synth engine because I figured, yes, do you know what? Yeah, there are some amplifiers on there. There are a load of amplifiers. Some of them are clean. Some of them metally. Some of them are gainy. There's some effects. And, you know, some cab models. And I think if you're listening to these on headphones or in your car, you know, they're going to sound good. They're going to sound the same. But so, and essentially I was like, there are loads of videos online about this. Not many have gone in depth on the synth engine. So what I did was try to create a load of different synths. It's a preset. This is probably not what you want from the G300. I just wanted to do some sound samples of the different synth engines, because it can do all this crazy stuff. Like, here are some examples of some of the crazy stuff it can do. Stuff like this. Even things like this. Basically, it's an awful lot of fun. I think that's kind of what you can garner from that. And I did think it sounded very good. One thing that's important to me is, can you make these things sound really good with like a nice kind of smooth, clean sound? I'm not sure about demoing drives in this sort of capacity when you're going to be listening to them on headphones or in a car stereo. I don't know if anyone's ever going to really get them. I know I did a drive shootout last week, but I think it's going to be my last sort of drive shootout, because I think I might sort of steer more towards this sort of thing, because I think it's easier to get an understanding of how good it sounds. So, I was able to just set myself up a clean patch. You know, I used a nice orange-inspired 412 cab. I used a Fender Tweed Deluxe style head, a little bit of analog delay, and a touch of very tasteful spring reverb, just to have a little bit of a clean riff, so we could sort of hear what it sounds like when I'm not just, you know, not just being an idiot. Thank you. think that sounds really good. I really liked it. So the G300, £650 you can pick that up now. If you are thinking about making the move to digital multi-effects, it's a very good option. You know, there is, of course, Kemper dominating the top end of that price point, and I think the Kemper stuff is absolutely fantastic. It certainly looks the coolest in that lovely green and black chassis. The GT1000 is probably technically the best sounding. I mean, it probably is, but it's simultaneously the least fun because it's a super functional one. The Line 6 Helix, you know, is my favorite, obviously the one I went for, is really good because it's literally jam-packed full of stuff. And the one thing that you're guaranteed with Line 6 is constant updates. But this mall was very, very good. Like, there was nothing that I was doing where I was like, this doesn't sound that great. I thought it was a fantastic alternative. If you're looking to save some money, really good, really worth checking out. Great interface, like really strong interface. One thing I do on the Line 6 a lot is it's got a little joystick on it, and I want to change that effect, and you're sort of scrolling over, you're clicking over, and accidentally you rotate the stick, because the stick can also go round, and rotating it at like goes on to an effect, and then you've added an effect to it, and it's like, oh, I've got to delete that, I'll scroll across some more. One thing I really liked about the Moore G300 was their use of buttons. Now, I'm not sure about the longevity of just of having the amount of plastic buttons on the front of this pedal, considering that, you know, it's going to be on the floor, and these are very, you know, these aren't sort of big metal buttons, they're little like old sort of TV switches or something on the front. So yeah, so they've got loads of buttons, each assigned to something. So, you know, one will say delay, one says reverb, one says amp, one says cap. You can press them and it immediately brings you to that effect. So great for on the fly, because there's no scrolling around and stuff. And that was really, really useful. Very cool product. Check it out. Now that all pretty much brings us to the end of this week's episode of Barcords. There's only one more, only episode 10 to go. Episode 10 is going to be exciting. I'm going to be talking about Everytone. If you want to get a heads up on what I'm talking about next week, I would say go to Everytone.com and tell me what you think. Anyway, before we go, this is my podcast. I can do this if I want. I wanted to be a little selfish and give you a little sneak peek. I just finished. Just finished my most recent record with my band Polymath. Now, listener, if you don't know about the guitarist in my band, Tim Walters, he's a very interesting fellow. He's a left-handed guitarist who plays right-handed instruments, or at least he plays left-handed instruments with the bridge turned around and the strings up the other way. We also play in new standard tuning, or FRIP tuning, which means we're in fifths, which is always fun for me, trying to work out what his riffs are when I have to sort of turn my head upside down and then remember that all his notes are in a different place to mine, which is no fun. Anyway, so we just finished this new record. Tim's always been very expressive with pedals, you know, always had massive pedal boards, and then always the first guy to move on to the, you know, the next big thing, albeit as cheaply as he possibly can. And he essentially recently has discovered, my goodness, does he love the sound of a Cocked Wah. So we recorded our new record, and I would say that his tone is just one sort of pinch and lifted mid the whole way through. I really liked it. I thought it was a really interesting tone to go for. So anyway, our new record's not coming out until November, but to finish off this podcast, you know, instead of the normal jingle, I'm going to play you a little excerpt from our new track, Sensors in Everything. I will see you next week. Well, I won't see you. I'll talk into a microphone and you'll hopefully listen next week for the last episode in season one of Barcords. Don't worry, there will still be a new series coming out shortly after that, but me and Mark have to take it in turns for creative ideas. He's not going to give me that sort of level of control, is he? So join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds. Watch our YouTube videos, youtube.com/guitar nerds. And if you want a little bit extra, then why not head on over to patreon.com/guitar nerds and see all the lovely things that we've got available there. You'll also be paying my wages. I am so poor. I'll see you next week. Farewell.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.